Well, sir, the noonday meal is just over as we enter the small house halfway up the next block now. And here in the kitchen, we find our friends lingering at the table. Sade's amiable uncle, Mr. Fletcher Rush, is a dinner guest today. And as we draw near, we hear him saying,
Sadie, I don't recall whether or not I complimented you on your delicious dinner.
You did. You said several nice things.
Every helping hit the spot.
Well, that's what the hostess likes to hear.
I enjoyed every morsel I put in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
Vic, were you ever acquainted with Dalrod B. Wequit there in Belvedere, Illinois?
Yes.
Dalrod B. Wequit had the reputation...
He played the Val trombone and got married twice.
No...
He got married and played the Val trombone twice.
Dalrod B. Wequit there in Belvedere, Illinois, had the reputation for owning the shortest temper in that region. His wife and sister and six married daughters were scared to death he'd lose his temper in church or someplace and maybe throw his shoes at the preacher
and
get furious
Rose?
Because of fly or grasshopper
hey,
lit on his cheek.
And somebody hollered.
Yes?
Are you in the kitchen, Mrs. Cook?
Yes. Mr. Corkle.
What's the trouble?
Mr. Corkle, a gas meter reader man just come in the front door.
Fine.
When we're in the front part of the house, he comes in the back. And when we're in the back part of the house, he comes in the front. How do you account for that?
Well, I don't know. Something must be the matter. It's not like him to call on people at mealtimes.
Maybe our gas meter has suddenly got out of control. The gas company's white-lipped and trembling.
Mr. Cook, I hope you'll try to forgive this altogether unpardonable intrusion. Mr. Cook, I'm happy to find you home because you're the person I particularly want to see.
Here's Orville Weenie, too, by George. Hello, Orville.
Hello.
Tell the people hello, Orville.
Hello.
Hello, Orville.
Hello.
How are you, Mr. Rush?
I don't say a great deal, lad. Pretty much the same old grind with me.
You seem upset, Mr. Corkle.
I am upset, Mrs. Cook. Otherwise, I wouldn't come bowling into your kitchen in this rude manner and interrupt you at your dinner.
Oh, we're all through, Mr. Corkle. Won't you sit down?
I'd rather stand, thanks. Mr. Cook, can you give me 5 minutes of your time, or... are you in a hurry to dash back to the office?
Oh, I got all the time in the world, Corkle. Sit down.
I'd rather stand.
Oh, I wouldn't rather stand.
Take a chair.
Well, I don't see no chair.
Rush, bring a chair out of the dining room. Bring two. Mr. Corkle might feel like sitting down a little later.
Okay.
I could sit in the sink or on the stove.
This is hardly the time for jokes, Orville. If I were you, I think I'd just keep silent.
Uh-huh.
You were responsible for enough trouble as it is.
Oh, yeah, but thunder, I'm not going to stay downhearted the rest of my life.
You know, lad, you look a good deal like George J. McTrotch. Was there any McTrotches in your family?
Not that I know of, Mr. Rush.
The McTrotches was Oklahoma people.
I doubt if I have any relatives in Oklahoma.
They tell kind of a funny story on old George McTrotch. Everybody considered him a halfwit, and he was a halfwit. But he turned the tables on a crowd of sports that was out to roast him.
Mr. Corkle wants to say something, Uncle Fletcher.
Yes, I know. And it seems this crowd of sports had chipped in on a box of cigars and some cute numbskull got the notion that...
Mr. Rush, I hate to interrupt your highly amusing anecdote, but I'm here on rather serious business. It's not serious business to you, Mrs. Cook, or you either, Mr. Cook. But it's serious business to Edith and I, and Orville Weenie here.
I got fired.
Here's a cheers.
Thank you very much, Rush, but I prefer to stand.
I don't. Give me sitting down ahead of standing up every day in the week.
It was due to your love for sitting down, Orville, that this trouble has arisen.
Yeah, but I'm not going to stay downhearted all my life about it.
Did you hear what Orville blurted out a minute ago?
No.
I did. He said he got fired.
I got fired.
Really, Orville?
I believe I got something in my tooth.
Orville Weenie has been dismissed from the gas company.
I'm not going to lay down on the ground and cry about it.
No, you're not the least bit upset.
I never wanted to be a gas meter reader much anyway.
You know, flies get sluggish this time of the year. I see one on the ceiling.
No, Orville, you're not the least bit upset. But how about your sister and your mother crying and sobbing and carrying on?
If they had anything to occupy their time, they'd be doing something else.
Orville Weenie, one thing I refuse to stand for, and that's smart-aleck backtalk when all of us are just breaking our backs trying to ease your disgrace.
Oh,
Edith's mother, of course, Mrs. Cook, just like all mothers, has a special feeling about your youngest child.
Sure.
She thinks of Orville as being the baby, and it's just a body blow to her, this dismissal of his from the gas company.
Yes, indeed.
Would they tie the candy for Orville?
going to sleep.
He'd been warned about that 5 different times.
6.
You'd go to sleep while you were reading somebody's gas meter?
No, I'd go down in somebody's basement and read their gas meter, and then I'd step over by the furnace to get warm, and if there was something to sit down on, I'd sit down, and then I'd get drowsy.
That happened 5 different times.
6.
Are you proud of it?
No, I'm not proud of it, but I'm not going to dab at my eyes with my handkerchief and scream bloody murder.
That's beautiful talk, that is. With your poor sister and mother, brokenhearted.
Uh-huh.
I will never forget May 17th, 1908.
Mr. Gook, I suppose you're wondering why we've come to you with our troubles.
Why, yes, Corkle, that has crossed my mind.
I won't make any bones about it. I'll come right out and explain.
Okay.
Edith's mother thought you could obtain a position for Orville at the Consolidated Kitchenware Company.
Edith's mother thought that, huh?
Yes.
Oh, how is Edith's mother?
To look at her, you'd think she'd never had as much as a headache in her life. But inside, she's a seething, surging mass of conflicting emotions.
Well, it's too bad.
And then, of course, the tiredness.
Well, about Orville here, I just don't know.
He'd work hard, Mr. Gook. I assure you he would.
Oh, I wouldn't set out to murder myself, wouldn't
you? Be quiet, sir.
In Mexico, Missouri, where Frank Al Joshley run a harness business, the different ones around the stable there used to
see, tell... Mr. and Mrs. Gook, Edith and I have talked about you people so much to Mother. We've described you as close friends of ours, and we've told her about your nice home and distinguished position.
Well, that was grand of you, Mr. Corkle.
Yes.
Sit down.
I'm not standing up.
Mother was impressed. She said if we had such close arms around the neck chums connected with the Consolidated Kitchenware Company, the least our close arms around the neck chums could do would be to hire Orville.
Edith's mother sent you here, Corkle?
You could call it that.
She said if he didn't come to talk to you, she'd tear him in two just like you'd tear a piece of newspaper. She said if he didn't...
Orville, I've asked you to be quiet, and you'd better do so.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Gook, Mother is excitable.
I understand she is.
I sometimes question her judgment, but she's a woman, and women are unpredictable, and I feel I'd better indulge her in her whims. If I do not succeed in persuading you to hire Orville, Mr. Gook, Mother is coming here to see you in person.
Huh?
I believe she intends to call this evening.
I haven't had the pleasure of your mother nor the acquaintance, Corporal.
That won't deter my mother-in-law. Mother is so impulsive.
So I've heard you say.
Tell about Mr. Bresnahan.
Who's Mr. Bresnahan?
My boss down at the gas company.
Is this a hooliman you got under discussion, Walter Hooliman?
An altogether different party, Uncle Fletcher.
Walter Hooliman died.
This is somebody else.
Why?
What about your boss down at the gas company, Orville?
He's in the hospital.
He got beat up?
I'll tell this story, Orville. Yes, Mr. Gook, Orville's employer down at the gas company, Mr. Ross Bresnahan, is in the hospital.
He got beat up?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Mother hit him a terrible belt in the jaw.
Oh, yeah, I am thinking that.
Nothing of the sort happened.
Mother threw him out the window?
Mother went down to his office this morning to remonstrate with him. She was excited and upset because her baby Orville had been treated unjustly, she thought.
She picked up a chair and brought it down on
Let me tell, Mr. Gook.
All right.
Mother was emphasizing the point she was making, and she brought her clenched fist down on Mr. Bresnahan's desk with considerable force. The desk shuddered, splintered, and collapsed. Both of Mr. Bresnahan's legs were broken.
Holy smoke!
It was an accident. A cut-and-dried accident. Mother felt as bad about it as Mr. Bresnahan himself.
Not quite as bad, maybe.
All right.
The doctors at the hospital say that Mr. Bresnahan is in fine shape and should be back at work again in 10 weeks. But it was a regrettable affair all the same.
Oh, yes.
Mother gets so excited and impulsive and upset.
She plans on calling on me this evening?
Unless I get results.
Orville, are you awake?
2 more minutes and I wouldn't have been.
But you're awake now.
Sure.
Would you like a job in the boxing department down at the Consolidated Kitchenware Company?
Yeah, I think I'd enjoy that.
You start Monday.
Thank you. Which concludes another brief visit at the small house halfway up in the next block.